As we look around in our world today and seeing things seemingly are getting worse, and sometimes we wonder how could it get any worse than what it is, but yet it's on that road and will be, especially here in the United States, as we turn our back on God. Now, I praise God for many of our people throughout our country, throughout our nation, in the rural areas and some in our cities, who are still staying true to God. And who live the life that God would have them live, and trying to fight the battle that we have before us. But our leaders seem to be winning in a sense of trying to get our people to turn away from God and turn to the things of the world. This is not something new, but it's a little stronger today than what it used to be in the yesteryear. The Holy Spirit is playing. And as we think of that and realize, and I just want to remind you as the Holy Spirit is placed on my heart, how that we need to realize the position that we really have. Now, we like to think of being saved, born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and realize that we're children of God. And that's a tremendous blessing and assurance that we have in knowing that we're in His hand. And the hand of Jesus is in the hand of the Heavenly Father. Man, what a comfort we have in that. But also, not only are we children of God, sanctified, justified in this light, but also we are soldiers of God. We're in a battle, whether you want to fight or not. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Charging Timothy that he might war a good warfare. We're in a war, whether we realize it or not, and there's it's just not one battle. It's every which direction you turn in that war. Notice in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This battle is very serious. Precious souls are at stake. Our nation is at stake in this, as well as the world. Now, we've got to realize the battles that we're fighting. One of the battles that we fight is a spiritual battle, and that's against Satan and spiritual wickedness around us. And that's a real battle. Here in America, we've been blessed, and we do not have that influence in the sense of the demons possessing people strongly throughout our community, but we have it, and it's going on. And I remember my first encounter with a witch was here in Ada back in the 60s when I was pastor at Trinity Baptist Church and dealing with the spiritual realm of this and the wickedness and what Satan is doing. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. How do we deal with this type of warfare, with that which is in the spiritual realm? This is a very powerful warfare, and it takes over the minds of people. Very simple. And the Scripture has always given us a clear answer on this, and just remind ourselves of it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, here the Bible tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In any battle that we're involved in as soldiers of God, we need to realize that our strength and our power does not come from us. It comes from God. And we need to stand in that power. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that can get scary right quick. This battle is not something you can touch. It's not something that you can just double up your fist and punch it in the nose. It's powerful in the matter of what Satan is doing and the wickedness that's going on in the spiritual realm. How do we fight that? How do we deal with that? Notice at verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Don't think this is going to be an easy time. It's going to be a very difficult time, but the victory is ours when we wear the uniform that God wants us to wear as soldiers. One of the things I learned about going into the military, I had a uniform to wear. And that uniform had a great purpose in the matter of how I fought and the protection I would have. And this is true with God. And we need to put the uniform on. Notice in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I was always amazed by some men who would come into the military, and they didn't like the uniform. There were certain parts of the uniform they would like to change, and they would buy those particular parts because it was more comfortable instead of wearing what they were issued to wear. We do the same thing in this spiritual warfare. We don't like the uniform that God has for us, and we'd like to change it for something that's a little bit more comfortable to us. But this uniform is extremely important, and you need to read that over and over again and realize what's going on, and the power that you're going to have is through the uniform that you're wearing. And the victory you're going to have is involved in this, as God will have us to fight this fight. Now, that's not the only battle we're involved in. Not only are we battling against Satan and the spiritual wickedness, but turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we have a battle and we have a war going on with the flesh. Now that brings it home. This spiritual warfare, you'll have places where the enemy is strong and very prominent, and other places it's not as strong. But with the flesh, it's always there. You're fighting this battle every day. And we need to realize, as soldiers of God, we are fighting in this battle. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so this is a very strong battle. It's one that you can touch. It's one that's always present with you and around you. Verse 18, But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this battle is growing stronger by the moment with the world. They're getting more bold in all of the things of the flesh. Used to, some of the things that we see today, we wouldn't even think about when I was a kid. And if you even thought about it, you almost got beaten with a whip or a belt until you really didn't want to think about it anymore. But now today, they're very bold in it. This is a very strong battle that we are fighting against. And we need to realize this as you look at the next verse in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, how do we fight against the flesh? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And this you can only have through the Holy Spirit of God. And only a child of God can have the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful battle that we are fighting. And it looks like we're losing, but we don't have to if we will stand in the strength of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Notice verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so this is a strong battle. Now we're fighting against Satan, spiritual wickedness. We have a battle with our flesh. But then there's another battle that's going on at the same time. We're not just fighting one battle. We're involved in many battles around us. Notice in James chapter 4 and verse 1. We have the battle of against Satan and the spiritual wickedness. We have the battle against the flesh. Now in James chapter 4 and verse 1, we have the battle against the world. You do not fight all of these battles the same way. You have to grow in the Word of God and realize that there are different battles, and He gives us different weapons in dealing with each one. Now in James chapter 4 and verse 1, for whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You ever heard the word compromise? You ever heard the word that we need to kind of not be quite so strict, and we need to kind of give a little bit so that we can draw people in? When you begin to do that, you're losing the battle with the world. That's what you want. That's what the world, to talk like the world, walk like the world, act like the world, dress like the world. And we think, well, we can handle that. No, you can't handle that. We have lost the battle almost. We need to come back to where we'll be obedient to God and realize that the battle against the world is being a friend of the world. Well, man, that's enough. But that's not all the battles. We have that battle against Satan, the spiritual wickedness. We have the battle against the flesh. We have the battle with the world. And in Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, we find another battle that's just as bad and sometimes might be a little worse than the others. Here is a battle with our own mind. Now, in this battle, you'll have Satan involved in it. And so you're almost fighting that same battle with Satan, but in a different way. He wants to control your mind. You'll also have the matter of your flesh dealing with your mind. And the world especially will try to persuade you that which is wrong is right. And so this battle is very powerful. Notice in Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. The law in my mind, delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The very first battle that was fought was between Eve and Satan. He was dealing with her mind. And the world is still trying to deal with your mind today. In America, we're really strong in that area. The world uses today, and as well as the devil, will use the medium, will use entertainment, which is wrong as being right, and that which is right as being wrong. Politically correct is a strong tool that the world uses on your mind and to go against the things of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we find a solution for this that we need to remind ourselves as being involved in this battle. Romans 12 and verse 1, here God tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Now, did you get that? Be not conformed. Be not like this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well now, with all these battles going on, how are we to survive? We're to be good soldiers. And if they'd told me all the battles I might be involved in the military, I would have said, just forget about it. And that's about the way some people feel about with God. I don't want to be involved in all these battles. Whether you like it or not, you're involved in it. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Here we find a challenge that is given to us by God in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As a good soldier. You mean they're not all good? Just go in the military and you'll find a good example of them. I had a hard time in the military in dealing with some of those who were enlisted. And they were trying to take the advantage of things that was involved in the military to their benefit, not to the matter of protecting our nation. Then we had those who were drafted into the military. And they definitely were trying to take advantage. First of all, they didn't want to do anything that they were told to do. They didn't want to be there in the first place. They were not good soldiers. Now, in all of these, and I praise God for our military personnel, for our veterans, but not all of them are good by any means involved in that. Some taking advantage of this or that and not obeying, not following the instructions and the orders that they should follow. And definitely, they didn't want to endure hardness. It was a joke mostly between the different branches of military, of the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and so on. And a lot of the jokes dealt with the comfort that you might have. Well, I was glad I was in the Navy. I didn't have to worry about a foxhole. But then on the other hand, the other one said, well, I'm glad I'm in the Army. I don't have to worry about drowning. And on and on you would go. Same thing with those that in the Air Force. Mainly our attention was on the comfort that we might have. You're not there to have comfort and joy. You're there to endure hardness as a good soldier. You're not fighting the war that God wants us to fight just for your comfort. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. You're going to be in situations that you never dreamed you would be in, and it's not going to be the easy way of life. As you look through the scriptures, you'll find many examples that are given there of those who were involved in fighting the wars that God would have them to fight that demanded a great deal of sacrifice on their lives. And they were faithful in that. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see some of that is there. And we need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and be willing to endure hardness. Boy, if we don't have the air conditioning and or if the heat's not right in the wintertime, if we don't have the proper lighting and everything comfortable where we can sit in a service and try to serve God and be a witness when it's comfortable, we don't want to show up. And that came to a reality to me as I had the opportunity to travel around the world and visit in the churches of other parts of the world that did not have the comfort physically that we have. And yet they were faithful and true. They were not there for the comfort. They were there because they were serving God. And they were there because they wanted to see others saved and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to become now, and we're willing to serve God and be in His army as long as we're entertained and we're comfortable. No, we need to realize we must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things we must do in this 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let that soak in just a little bit. We're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. As we become a child of God, after a bit, we kind of forget that we're in His army and we want to have the things that the world has. We want to be involved in everything around the world instead of having God as our priority. In order for you to be a good soldier, the military must have priority in your life over your family, over your personal things, and everything involved in your life. And that's more true in the army of God than it is in any physical army on this earth. And when we come to that realization, we're going to begin to see the battle and see the victory that God will have us in the battles we're to fight. One of the things that's involved with this is being a good soldier. Now, you might be a soldier, but not a good one. You're still wanting to kind of be in the military of God and be in the military of the world. You're still wanting to serve mammon and serve God. You can't do that. You've got to be a good soldier and be true to Him. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Keep your finger there in 2 Timothy. We're going to come back to that. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. One of the things we need to do to be a good soldier of our Lord and Savior and to win the battle that God would have us do is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. By whom the world is crucified unto me. That means the world is dead unto me, and I unto the world. I'll find myself even today as trying to serve the Lord and do all that He would have me to do. And I'm involved in the study and in the work that He'd have me to do. And then I will look up and I think, I need to take a break. And I'll turn that little old television box on. And it doesn't take me just a few seconds and say, brother, that's the wrong thing to do. Turn it off. You need to be, that thing needs to be dead to you, crucified. That's what it's talking about. The world has no tie with us whatsoever. We're to be so totally sold out to Him. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we're to be good soldiers that is there. And so the world must be crucified to us, dead to us, and we're dead to the world. Now, as to be a good soldier, you must do it right. The only time I was really scared in the military was during boot camp. Of course, as being in the Navy, we really just wasn't going to handle a lot of weapons. That wasn't our time. The type of weapons we have were the big guns on the ship and so on that we'd be dealing with. But we had to go through the training. We're using a rifle and then with firearms, and we had to go through that type of training. They gave us a mock-up gun. Now, I was all right with that. But it came the day when they gave us a gun, a real gun, with live ammunition. I knew some of the fellows in our group had not paid any attention to learning how to use that weapon. And quickly, I got myself in a position where that I was protected from them because I knew without a doubt they would start firing that thing in all different directions. And this is true in Christianity. Sadly to say, as the weapons we need to use, some of them do not know how to use it properly. And when you do not use the weapons that God give you, you can do more damage to your own group than what you do to the enemy. So we must do it right. Look back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 now. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it talked about that we're to be, in verse 4, how that we're to be dedicated to Him. In verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. We cannot accomplish the task and win the battle unless we do it right, do it the way that God would have us to do. Well, what are the weapons that we use? How do we really fight this battle? We know that we've got to be dedicated. We know we've got to be committed. We've got to wear his uniform. But what weapons do we really have? What is it we're going to use? We're going to be driving a tank, or we're going to be using handguns, or we're going to be using big guns on a ship or somewhere else, or an airplane that has guns on it, or dropping bombs. What do we use? What type of weapons do we have? Well, look at it now in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, here's one of the main weapons you're going to use. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even cometh the world. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. One of our most powerful weapons is that of faith. And my, how powerful it is. Now, when we talk about faith, first of all, we must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He took not man made God. He is God that came and took on our flesh to pay the price for our sins in the flesh and to conquer sin in the flesh. That battle can be won as we serve him. But the other battles, as we believe that he is the Son of God, that means nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. Do we really believe that? Do we really have that faith that God can do all things for me and around me? When you come to that place where you have that faith without question, without doubt, and you believe that God can work through you and will work through you, the victory is yours. And we'll be accomplished in the victory. That involves prayer. You can't really pray without faith. See? And oh, the power of prayer in faith. Now, we talk about the sophisticated weapons of today. They've got guns that they can shoot around a wall or shoot over a wall. That can ever happen. With faith, the impossible can be done. And when you have that faith and by prayer, you don't even have to look at your enemy in the eye. You can take care and have that victory that is there because of the power of God and knowing that you serve God and your strength is in him and not in yourself. Then there's another weapon that God gives us. Look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is the one we have a difficulty in operating. Faith, it takes a week to sin now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have a problem that we just don't want to study the word of God that much. And when you're not involved in the word of God, your faith is going to be weak. And so you need to know how to use that weapon. And that weapon can be very powerful and will be great and powerful when you're in the word of God. The more you're in the word of God, the more you know that God can do and will do. Now, this other weapon that we have that is powerful, we have difficulty in using it. Now, let's take a look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the weapon that God has given us is not made of man. It's not something you could pick up like a club or a gun or something else that you might depend upon to deliver harm or destroy your enemy involved in that. He said, it's this weapon, though you cannot hold it in your hand, this weapon that you do not see, yet it can pull down strongholds. Man, it's a powerful weapon. Notice in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. of these warfares that we fight, that we're fighting in, that of Satan and spiritual wickedness, that of the flesh, that of the mind that we're dealing with. This weapon deals with those things and can destroy them, can cast them down. The imaginations, and man, the imagination is running wild today, and wickedness and ungodliness that's there. It can bring down every high thing that tries to exalt itself above God. Now notice it says, it not only brings it down, but in that verse 5, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you persuade another person to change his evil thoughts to that of God? You can argue till you're blue in the face, and you will not accomplish it unless you use this weapon. Now, what is this weapon that's so powerful? Verse 6. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This weapon is obedience. Obedience. It's the most powerful weapon where we are obedient to the word of God, and that's a difficult weapon to use. We don't like to be obedient. We don't like to be told what to do or how to do it. We'll work it out our way. We'll do it our way. And I don't want to be told what to do. What a powerful weapon. A good example of this is Elijah. He was challenging the false prophets on Mount Carmel. And he felt like he was the only one. God had him to challenge them. He said, now, I want y'all to build an altar. Put your wood on it. Put your sacrifice on there, an animal. And lay it on there. And I'll build an altar and put wood on there and put a sacrifice on there. And then he said, you call on your God, and if your God brings fire down and burns that altar, we'll serve your God. If my God brings fire down and burns the altar, we'll serve my God. They all agreed to that, and so they built their altar. They prayed, they cried, they yelled, they jumped up and down, they did everything. They even cut themselves, and nothing happened. Then it came his turn. He built the altar, got everything in place. Now remember, it's to burn by fire. He said, now bring some barrels of water. Dug a trench around the altar. Poured that water, 12 barrels of water on that sacrifice. The last thing you want to do is to make that sacrifice wet. You want it to burn. Then he used the weapon. He prayed. And in his prayer, he said, let these people know that I've been obedient to your word. And when he showed his obedience to God, the fire fell and consumed that sacrifice, the stones, the water, and everything that was there. The greatest weapon we have is simply being obedient to God. And that's the hardest weapon that we have to use. We don't want to do it God's way. We don't want to obey God and all that he tells us to do in his precious word. Are you a good soldier? Are you warring that warfare? There are precious souls at stake. It's not a matter that just we win so many battles. Each battle that is won is the result of a precious soul coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And how important it is. And we need to put our eyes back again on those that are dying without hope. Those that are struggling in this world and seemingly have no hope whatsoever. No way out. And yet, there is a way. There is an answer. There is salvation only through Jesus Christ. And to get to them, we must fight these battles and be obedient in serving him. And use the weapons of faith and obedience to God. Have you obeyed God? First of all, in salvation. Have you obeyed God in baptism? and church membership? Have you obeyed God in studying His Word and reaching out to a lost, dying world in the power of God? Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Very simple, powerful weapon of God, which involves obedience. And it will change your life and then change the lives of others. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. In Romans 10 and verse 8, the Bible teaches us, but what's and in thy heart, that is the word of faith. There's the first weapon, faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the second weapon of being obedient. You believe, and you're obedient in confessing Christ. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you winning the battle? Are you a good soldier? The decision is yours. Have you crucified the world? Have you given yourselves totally to Him? Are you wearing the uniform that God would have you to wear? The battle is on. And it can be won. We can, regardless of what's coming down the road, and as bad as it looks, we can change everything. But we must be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. There's some things that's lacking in your life that God wants you to get right with Him now, that you might be that faithful soldier, that you might be that committed soldier, that good soldier, and that you might learn to use the weapons of faith and obedience where God will do His mighty work and not you. The decision is yours. A soul is waiting on you to have that victory. With every head bowed, never eye closed.